Webs are flying out like endless fists into a comic book. They thwip-thwack wildly as they fight away across the Sorry, nothing associated with this film is allowed to conclude. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, my name is Sean Collier. I'm here with two people who came to the candy shop for the candy. It's Camila Adams.
Sorry, this 50 Cent was in my head.
That kind of candy shop.
Right, exactly.
And Robin Hitchcock.
Hi there.
That was West Side Story 84 and two-thirds. In the broad definition of musical, that's not our top musical. Is this a movie with a lot of...
Because of Purple Rain?
Because of the five heartbeats.
Ah! Oh, very cool.
Which solid.
Oh, what a great movie.
Is an 86.
Happy Black History Month.
Can we just... I'm sorry, this is getting ahead of ourselves, but I need to talk about how great Camila's content on our Instagram has been.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Yes, so if you don't follow us on Instagram already, what... Nomia underscore podcast, is
yes.
that right?
Yes.
Go do it, because Camila has been making these really awesome recommendations for Black History Month. A lot of movies that I've never even heard of, which is very exciting for me because I love adding things to my watch list.
Shout out Polly.
And that's literally what I was thinking of. I can't wait to watch it. Camila, thank you for that content.
Hey,
it's
welcome.
So good.
I think I know the answer, but that felt a little like, yeah, Five Heartbeats is a little better than West Side Story.
A little better?
They're so different.
They're very different.
Yeah. It's so different.
This is where we get to the limits of the Nomia rating system, yeah. Especially right. because the Five Heartbeats is not a Nomia.
Right.
Which just kind of snuck in there. Kind of. What do we have? A special
Little
Treats?
Treat Film yeah. Festival.
From Little Treat Film Festival, which we really should do again later
yeah.
this year.
Yeah.
Then Purple Rain, 85 and two-thirds. West Side Story, a point behind that. Mary Poppins, 82, if you count School of Rock, 70.
Sure.
70.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You were kind of all over the place. There's some good. There's some bad. There's nothing really, really high. There's nothing really, really low. I think in the end, we feel okay about musicals.
Yeah.
We don't love them. We don't hate them.
Right. Yeah. And I think it also makes a difference, at least for me, is will I bop this later? Like these songs.
Yes.
Because like Five Heartbeats and Purple Rain, absolutely. I will, you know, listen to those albums. But West Side Story, there's like maybe one or two songs. But
America.
And also, yeah. And also listening to them, mm-hmm. you know, it's from a musical.
Oh, my mm-hmm. God. That's such a good point.
And like, you know.
That sound of right. musical music.
Right. Yeah, yes. exactly. And like Five Heartbeats, it's like, oh, this is just, you know, Temptation. Or
right.
whatever, and you know, so
I think Mary Poppins is in between. Mary Poppins does not sound as much like a musical as a lot of these.
No, do. But it absolutely sound. But it's absolutely yes. This is a children's song.
Yeah,
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 yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Poppins a bag doesn't really just scream anything. Like just bumping it in the summertime.
But Step in Time, throw that on.
Yeah,
throw it on.
Right.
But we've got a big one, and we certainly have a long one to talk about. It's Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the second in the alleged Spider-Verse trilogy. We probably talked about this when it came out.
We did.
I bet. Yeah, we did.
Fairly extensively, so we don't need a big recap. I loved it. It was in my top 10 that year. And Robin...
I was very grumpy about it being mm-hmm. half a movie. And I still am. Let's be real. Mm-hmm, I mean, yeah. I went back and looked at my Letterboxd. I did give it 4 stars. And I feel like 1.5 of those stars is because of Spider-Punk.
Well.
I just love him Hobie. So much.
Hobie.
Yeah. I love him so
Hobie
much.
Hobie or Hobby.
Every time he talks, I love the art, the zine art that they use
yeah.
for him. He's just... And Daniel Kaluuya is just...
It's phenomenal.
Incredible.
Like, it's incredible. My mom met my dad. They had sex. It's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really just a great usage of, yeah, like we were saying before we hit record, there's so much happening visually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Audio-wise, just storyline. It's just so much. I had to put closed caption on this time.
I always watch everything with closed caption.
I started pausing things to look at what all of the stuff on the screen was.
Yes.
And then I was like, I'll be here all day.
Yes.
I keep doing that. And I want to acknowledge Mary Beth has a very valid opinion because I saw this, then I took her to see it. And she was like, I did not like that. There was so much happening visually that I felt bad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's a legit, that's not, you know, and I think that's a little bit more legitimate than people that are like, what, Cloverfield, the camera was moving around. I felt sick. I think
what people getting literal motion sickness is totally understandable. What is, what are you like, use Dramamine?
Have seen a movie before? There's lots of movies that move around a lot. But
have a different constitution than those people.
I don't know.
It's like some people can go on boats and some people can't go on boats.
I guess that's
All
right. That's legitimate too. But I think what she's saying is very legitimate. If you're a person who likes cleanliness and order in the thing you're looking at, you're going to have a bad time with this movie. Yeah.
And it's more, I watched Into the Spider-Verse before, and this one is a notable uptick.
More chaotic.
In chaos. Yes. And I think that makes sense. It's a sequel. Sequels are always more, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, like, the stakes are much higher in this one. Like, we played around with the multiverse in the first one.
But it was all coming in.
Yeah. And so now we're, like, fucking hopping around into other dimensions.
Where were you on this when it came out?
I remember liking it, but again, I think I felt like, because I guess I felt it was half of a movie, I didn't like it as much as the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I also felt like I was assaulted. My senses were assaulted. So it took a couple times for me to like come back and revisit it. And I appreciate, you know, everything about it. Like, I never walked away like, this is a bad movie. Mm-hmm. It was just that I don't know if I can deal with this. Like, I don't know if I can handle it.
Mm-hmm. So you're like halfway to Mary Beth.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, I understand her point absolutely, because it's just like, senses overdrive. And you know, had I seen it before I was a parent, maybe, you know, my senses would have been easier. But now it's just like, I need to find some sort of space in my life where I'm not already overstimulated, because I'm always like up top here. Like, that's just my stasis, unless I'm going to bed. And so it's like, I get like an hour a day where I'm just like, okay, chill.
You need your wind down time, and this movie is the opposite of that. Yes, this is a wind up.
It is, but it's still so fun.
I
love the soundtrack and the score.
Also, I just love Miles Morales as a character. He's just so charming, lovable. Yes. Like, I want to feed him soup. You know, like, he's just so precious, and I love his family. I love his mom, especially in this one. Like, this is a movie that, even though I find it immensely frustrating, has so much that I do love.
Mm.
Something about Miles solves the part where Peter Parker is kind of irritating. You know, they kind of have the same gripes and they kind of have the same attitude, but usually when it's done with Peter, it's like, come on, kid.
Yeah, right.
And with Miles, it's like, he has a lot to consider. He's got a lot on his mind. Emotions are hard. Robin, are you, does it fall on you to squish this 120 minutes into 140 minutes into one?
We'll see what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hang on. Here we go. Okay, let's do this one last time. Like, seriously, it might be the last time. Okay, anyway, Miles Morales is Brooklyn's one and only Spider-Man. Spot is the new big bad, and he creates little teleportation holes and whines. Miguel O'Hara is Time Cop Spider-Man, and he works with many other Spider-Men, including pregnant Jess Drew. They recruit Gwen Stacy, and then we meet Spider-Man Pav in Mumbaitan, and he's deeply charming. We meet Spider-Punk Hobie, and he's somehow even more charming. We reunited with Peter B. Parker, who has a baby now. Miles saves Pav's father-in-law-ish, which disrupts a canon event. There's all these other Spider-Men, like, we see Andrew Garfield and Donald Glover, holy Roger Rabbit people. Miguel explains the canon event thing. Basically, Miles' dad has to die or his universe will unravel. They all chase him. It's like a John Wick sequel of Spider-Man. And then the climax happens, and there's, like, half an hour left. Miles comes out as Spider-Man to his mom. She's like, what are you talking about? Because he's in the wrong universe. There's no Spider-Man here. And he is Prowler here. And then there's another fucking ending. And then it's to be continued, allegedly.
Good job. Yeah. You had three seconds to spare.
I practiced in the car.
Wow. It's really weird how much happens. And then we get after the point where our Miles goes to Earth 42, And it feels like we just went from 60 to 20 or from 100 to 20. You know, it's so
miles per hour.
Yes.
Okay.
it's so frantic, but also advancing the plot so quickly throughout. And then we hit this big wall.
It's what I remembered was that this movie just ends, right? Mm-hmm. And then watching it, it felt like it ended 50 times.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to reconcile those two complaints, but I still have them, if that makes sense. And like, I was thinking about this as maybe having a five-act structure, like an episode of television, right?
Yeah.
And that means you have a lot, because on TV, you need to start, like on certain styles of TV shows, you need to set up some things for the next episode and like have these little ending emotional beats. And that's what we have here. But it's not a TV show. It's a movie and we have to wait potentially forever.
Right.
So I want them to have ended it.
And maybe that's a great point, that maybe it just should have been a television show. Like that first, the first movie could have been season one. And the second one is absolutely season two.
I love the first movie so much. I don't want to take it away from being a movie, but why not make a sequel TV show? Yeah. And each episode can be a different Spider Person.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, money. No, nobody but Disney, and remember, this isn't Disney.
That's right.
Has the money to put that level of effects and care into something episodic. And even when Disney does, like,
we're all just kind of
like, Loki looks like a movie, but Hawkeye and Secret whatever with Samuel L. Jackson don't look like a Marvel movie. You know,
have either of you watched Loki?
Yeah,
Colin was like, "This show is, or this movie is basically Loki."
It definitely.
Yeah.
Is.
Okay.
It's unfortunate that this plot was basically happening three times simultaneously between this live action Spider-Man and Loki. Right. That doesn't negate it, but
and everything everywhere all at once, and Doctor Strange across the multiverse. We have had this multiverse era, and I have a thesis about this, which is that it's because of the rise of fascism. Because we're basically living in the dumbest timeline and we all know it. And so we need to believe in other worlds.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
could be.
I could get down with that.
And I think that this movie maybe didn't hit as well because of multiverse fatigue. Maybe. And also it came out during the Biden years.
Yeah.
We were briefly not in the dumbest timeline. We were in a mediocre timeline.
Oh, that and the Bo Burnham's little bit of everything all of the time. The internet has made us want everything to be colliding and everything to be right in front of us at all times. So, like, yeah, it makes sense that our entertainment briefly went like everything from anywhere can be anywhere at any time.
Yeah. All at once.
And, you know, that's fun because, like, they can, like, go into Venom for a minute and not have it, you know, break. It is kind of self-defeating because then it's like, well, if that, you could go into The Simpsons too. You could go into One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest if there's one of
Space
everything.
Space Jam, whatever the fuck.
Right.
Yes.
Right. That's the extreme counterexample.
So do you think like this whole narrative of the whole plot being like, this is canon, this is what has to be, and the fact that we're like dipping and diving into all these other universes, is it because they've all painted themselves seemingly into a corner of like all the reboots and the preboots and the whatever the fucks and, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, and everyone is so, and there are people, you know, and I am including that are just like, but it's not canon. And so like, you know, is this just kind of the answer? Like, all right, fine. You know what? This is how it works. It does. There are no rules.
Yeah.
This is just it.
I mean, that's kind of more satisfying than getting into a argument about how, if this, then that.
All right.
You know, having the it's like The Simpsons, a wizard did it. It's like if you have the ability to be like, yep, they were dipping in from another universe. That kind of lets us get away from the minutiae and back onto like the story, which is the important thing anyway.
Right.
So I appreciate that. I do think, like, specifically with Marvel, like at some point they're going to have to zip this back up.
Yeah.
Because it just gets, there has to be something in the next Avengers movie or the one after that where we were like, oh no, we pressed the button that makes it impossible for anyone right. to ever switch universes again, and we broke the button.
Hope they find a way to do it that doesn't involve a Crisis on Infinite Earths where I have to contemplate universes dying.
That's my only, well, I'll get facts in a second. That's my only problem with doing this storyline here. There's so much more creative ways than, oops, you saved a Uncle Captain Dad Ben. so now the world is turning into a black hole. Mm. Like, it could have just been like, no, that's core to who you are. Right. So if that doesn't happen, you don't really become Spider-Man and your world.
Like City on the Edge of Forever.
Right. Like it can be like, here's what happens to you and this is bad. It doesn't have to be like,
poof, the world gone.
Yeah, I'm really sick of the world.
Yeah,
the world poofing.
World being in peril for one person's choices.
It's always in peril. Yeah. The whole universe is in peril in every one of these movies and it's exhausting.
And if the world, to paraphrase The Incredibles, if the world's always in peril, the world's never in peril. Like, if that's just our base state, I don't have to care about
then
it
we're
anymore.
Fine.
But while it's going, it's usually fine. And I think it was here.
I need to interrupt. They're cutting down a tree outside Camila's house. It might be picked up on mic. Yes.
You know how Camila loves Saw? We wanted some ambiance. So there's just various saws running.
Okay, sorry. I'm sitting here vaguely hearing it and like the veins twitching in my forehead. All right.
Across the Spider-Verse was released June the 2nd of 2023. It was the 14th number one movie of that year. It opening weekend was gigantic, $120.6 million. Its first weekend alone, that is the 60th highest grossing opening weekend of all time. It fell to second behind Transformers.
Oh my God.
Something of the Revenge of the Beasts, Return of the Beasts.
Whatever.
The one with dinosaurs?
Yeah. Fell to second behind that in its second weekend, third behind The Flash and Elemental in its third weekend, but then went to first in its fourth weekend. It leapfrogged all of that stuff that beat it the previous two weekends and went back to first, also narrowly beating. It was close. It was Cross the Spider-Verse 19 million, Elemental 18.4, Flash 15.1, and No Hard Feelings. Jennifer Lawrence has a naked fight.
I forgot about the Flash movie.
Me too. Never saw it.
It was underrated. It was a mess. It was also a multiverse crisis where the worlds were colliding. So it was just like, there's a lot of this right now. It was a mess and it got shit on because Ezra Miller is a criminal.
Yeah.
Right.
But it wasn't as bad as it was. Anyway, so it had a second week at number one. It was just its fourth week. It spent 9 weeks in the top 10, $381.3 million. That is third for 2023, behind only Barbie and Mario. It went Barbie, Mario, Spider-Man. Again, the death of the box office is not a thing. And that Barbie was like 650 and Mario was 500 plus, and this made 380. Movies are fine.
Yeah.
It's also the 13th highest grossing PG movie of all time.
This movie's PG?
This is PG.
I thought for sure I heard some shit here or there, but nope. I guess I'm wrong.
Maybe not. 60th all time as of right now. That's pretty good for an animated movie. I mean, a lot are much higher than that, but it's very respectable. All of those numbers I just said are much higher than Into the Spider-Verse, which opened to $35.3 million, went on to earn $190 million. Also a much bigger hit than they were expecting, but this is the one that took off.
That was like a word of mouth movie, because I remember I saw that just kind of to see, because I go see movies. Right. And then I remember my friends who I saw it with being like, that was fucking amazing.
Right.
And then all of us telling people, you know what's really fucking amazing? Right. The new Spider-Man movie. And I think that that's why.
Yeah, I think I saw it on streaming or whatever. Yeah. And I was just, and remember was like, what the fuck is
this?
This
is so cool.
Like, this is amazing.
Also, it won Best Animated Feature, even though they did not distribute screeners.
Oh, wow.
Yes, they like enough of the Academy was like, fuck yeah, hell yeah.
Wow.
It did not win.
It didn't win?
Expensive baubles.
Expensive baubles.
Not this one, the previous one.
I think the previous one.
The previous one won.
Yes.
Yeah.
This one.
It won something?
It won something.
Score?
Sound?
It didn't win an Oscar.
Oh, I see. Was it even nominated?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
This was nominated for Best Animated Feature, lost to...
What year was this again?
23.
Would have been the 24
Boy and
Oscars.
The Heron?
Boy and the Heron. Hayao Miyazaki's film took the Oscar, although this was in the AFI top 10. It won 7 Annie Awards, including Best Feature. Lost at the BAFTAs and Golden Globes. What did it win? The Critics' Choice Award. You're welcome.
Good job, Sean.
Thank you. So, hey, where's the sequel? Here's what happened. Initially, they were working on both this film and another film simultaneously.
Wicked style.
Yes. It was. They weren't even separately titled at the time. It was just Across the Spider-Verse Part 1 and Part 2.
Wicked style.
Wicked style. Maybe we're going to release them about a year apart. The first
Wicked
ever.
Wicked style.
Wicked style.
I'll stop saying that.
The first ever release date was in March of 2024. Then they realized they did not have the capability of making two movies of this scale basically at the same time. They split them more formally. They gave it the Beyond the Spider-Verse name. They bumped it to March 2025. Then they were held up by the SAG strike. It got going again, and it has just moved very, very slowly because it's very, very complicated and hard to create. Allegedly, it could have been released this year, or at least could have been put on a schedule to be released in 2026, but they didn't want it going against a live action Spider-Man because we're getting one of those this year. So now,
wait, which is it? God, still stop. The little British boy?
Yeah, the
okay. Who is that now?
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. Yeah.
Oh, bless.
Yeah, he's great.
What the hell is I the do name
just
of that movie?
I am genuinely tired of superheroes. And I loved them so much.
Oh yeah, like I've hit like an exhaustion point. Yeah. But you know, I know it's just going to be like another overstimulating experience, but this new Avengers Doomsday, like just looking at the trailers, it's just like, bro, just tell me who's not coming back.
yeah, Spider-Man Brand New Day, which is a Tom Holland one. Zendaya's still there. Sadie Sink is in it. Punisher's in it. I think Scorpio might be the villain. Scorpion, not Scorpio. Who the hell knows? That's coming out in July. So they were like, okay, we're not going to go against that. Allegedly, the date for Beyond the Spider-Verse is June 4th, 2027.
I will believe it when the credits roll.
And it doesn't say to be continued.
Exactly.
Right.
Also, possible spinoffs about both Spider-Woman and Hobie, but big grain of salt because look how long it took on this one.
I don't know if Hobie would be as good all on his own, but I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they could do something different. Can you make like the whole thing that style of
I think it might
animation? Like that's
it might get too much.
Right. Yeah. That's a lot. What makes him so special is how much he's against everything that's inside this one. And also just the fact that it's a fucking zine style, just like in the middle of all this other stuff. And do you have numbers as to how many animators were involved?
900,000.
Yes. Before we move off of spinoffs, not technically of this one, of the previous, the live action, there's a trailer out now for the live action series Spider-Noir with Nicolas Cage playing the...
Thanks, Tony.
You asked about the thing, the people, all of the people. Allegedly, this is the most true animators, not like people clicking dots in a visual effects studio, but true. There were 1,000 animators working on this, which is a record.
People clicking dots in a visual effects studio are animators.
I think that we're drawing a distinction between that and something else. Okay. I don't know what we're drawing a distinction between. But
I know
like,
what you're saying, Sean.
Yeah, the people who are really drawing.
Not to downplay those who are clicking dots, because I can't click dots.
No, neither can I.
But yeah, 1,000 animators were working simultaneously. Because this is the longest animated film ever made by an American studio.
Really?
Yes. There's nothing else. There's only three. There's a couple that's like, this is a rotoscoped YouTube thing.
Right,
doesn't
sure,
count.
That doesn't count.
And things that are cobbled together from other things. There's only three that are more than 2 hours long. That's it's like this Fantasia and something.
Fascinating.
There are some Japanese animated films that are longer. But yes, this is the longest. So you need 1,000 people to work on it. Sure. Inevitably, there were reports of difficult working conditions, particularly because Phil Lord, or is it Phil Miller? Phil Lord and Christopher Miller.
I think that's right.
Very talented producers, writers, creators. They did Mitchell's Versus the Machines, which Robin and I both love. They were the Lego movie.
I think
right?
so, yeah.
They're great. They're supposed to be very
They throw staplers at you.
Exacting. Yeah. What Robin said. They throw staplers at you.
What?
Mostly that he would come.
Metaphorically.
Oh, you know okay, what I mean? The, okay.
Yes, but like they're just awful to work for.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That Lord would come in and see stuff that was done and go, I don't know. Can we change this?
The swoop and poop.
Right. Right. So it was a lot of work. There were some people that left. I don't know how much that is versus any big animated or big visual effects or big video game. Like, the whole video game industry is way worse with that kind of stuff. But yes, like, put a little flag in. People say this was a tough one. I'm sure. What else?
I do think that's part of the reason that I don't believe that they're making a third one. Yeah.
Right.
The Lego sequence.
That's the good news that I'm going to say after the bad news. Okay. This film was banned in the Middle East and North Africa because Gwen Stacy has a Protect Trans Kids flag.
That's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, it is in the background. There's a fan theory that she's transcoded. I don't really buy it.
Transcoded?
Maybe gay.
Right. But she has a Protect Trans, like a trans rights flag up in her room. And so, you know, like the UAE and Egypt were like, nope, we're not.
That's
a shame. But here's the nice heartwarming story. The Lego sequence was created and paid for. No, what am I trying to say? They hired him. He got paid. A 14-year-old fan, Preston Mutanga, remade the whole trailer in Legos posted it to YouTube. And Lord and Miller saw that and said, cool, do it for the thing.
That's awesome.
And hired
that's
so him cool. to do it. So that sequence is made at home by a 14-year-old.
I aww. Love that so yeah. much.
That's...
oh my God, this motherfucking tree. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Do you want to just like...
Yeah. No, because it's going to... The vroom won't be able to...
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's literally just a tone that is constantly changing pitch.
Yes.
So it's impossible to edit out.
Yeah.
Thanks for bearing with us. Pretend it's... what's a soothing nature noise that's kind of like that?
Woodpecker?
Yeah, that's where I was going to, and I was like, that's not soothing.
No, none of it is soothing.
Yeah,
no.
People have to put out fake owls to avoid that sound.
That's true. Here's... here's my take on this and why it was in my top 10 and why I think this is basically Avatar. Avatar is a movie with one big giant flaw, that being its story isn't interesting. Other than that, it is such a filmmaking achievement that it doesn't matter.
Right.
This is like that. Yeah, it's half a movie. It doesn't have an ending. And it's a little too long. That said, this is one of the most amazing artistic achievements in film I've ever seen. The way that it would be one thing if every character were animated differently,
right?
But when we go to their world, the world is animated differently. Yeah. The way that Gwen Stacy's world is this
mood
like
ring,
this
that's a good way of describing
impressionist
it.
Mood ring where like the backgrounds change and flow into the people with what they're saying. Versus, I love Mumbatan and the way that moves, and the fact that they can do all of that and then smash it together into a way that still feels like a whole that you understand. Is a technical achievement on the level of something like Avatar.
Well,
I will acknowledge that it's half a movie and doesn't have an ending, but I don't care because look at what I'm looking at.
Look how pretty.
Yeah.
See, as a counterpoint, more is not necessarily better.
Right.
You disagree. You just think this is better also.
No, I think that what I'm saying isn't more. I think that what I'm saying is a leap forward in the field of collage.
Sure. You know? Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's what I was going to say earlier is it's interesting. You know, the first one was using all these different styles to evoke different comics, right? Mm-hmm. This is all art.
Yeah.
The entirety of visual art is being represented here.
Right.
So that is cool. It's very ambitious. But also there are times when I'm like, I don't know how this serves the narrative. And you mentioned Gwen's world, which is beautiful. But what does that mean for her character that it looks like that?
All emotions are bleeding into one another.
Okay. Yeah,
and nothing is straight lines and nothing is clear.
All right. All right. I like that. That's good.
I said the thing. You said the thing. Camila?
What?
Is this a masterpiece or just too much?
It's beautiful. Like, and I love the clash of the art styles.
Mm-hmm.
but they work together very well. None of it is very, it's not jarring. It's not too jarring. It's not like, holy shit, now I'm in this. Oh, now I'm in another
definitely
world.
Not.
No, I'm not. So it's all very fluid and it's all very, it's very clean and easily done. And it just gives you so much more to think about, which, I mean, I know I said this is too much, but it's not too much. It's a lot to, to consume. And it lends itself very well for multiple viewings because you're like paying attention to something. And I don't know what the kids are doing these days, but I'm surprised I haven't seen more like think pieces or videos or stuff. But again, like they could be, and I'm just not paying
right.
attention to
their
it.
Their TikToks.
So. Yeah, exactly. Right. So I would love to see like what that the younger folks like think about this, like the teenagers and, you know, who this is really representing, how difficult their emotional stasis is at that point in time. Because yes, it's special because they're bitten by radioactive spiders, but move all that away, you're just right down to like it's hard being a teenager.
Right, it's like Buffy.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
If there's five acts, the emotions one, the one where Gwen comes back and they have that conversation sitting upside down.
Yeah.
And then with his parents, where they get mad, the whatever moment.
Yeah.
Which is in the trailer.
Yo.
My name is Miles Morales. I'm Brooklyn's one and only Spider-Man. And things are going great.
Oh, yeah. You were supposed to be here at 5.
All right, whatever.
Whatever?
Wow.
Whatever?
So are you like a cow or a Dalmatian?
I am the Spot.
That's not funny. So wait a minute. There's an elite crew with all the best spider people in it?
Who's the new guy?
This is unbelievable.
This is the lobby.
Miguel O'Hara.
The whole thing was his idea.
I'll take it from here. Miles, being Spider-Man is a sacrifice.
You have a choice between saving one person and saving every world.
I can do both! Spider-Man, always!
Not always.
What about Uncle Ben?
If not for Uncle Ben, most of us wouldn't be here.
Can't stop me now!
You can't run forever, kid!
I can't lose one more friend.
Yeah, this isn't what we talked about!
All stations, stop Spider-Man!
You? And then I looked at my uncle and...
Let me guess. He died?
I just side-eyed the chainsaws.
Yeah, the whatever thing, that is the fucking legit response react. Because I could not imagine for me to have said whatever to my mom. And I could not imagine. And Kasha said whatever to me once or twice.
But then the that mom, that's one of the best mom speeches.
Such a good mom speech.
It is.
And the moment before it where they like, they give each other the, which one of us is going to handle this look?
Yeah.
And like communicate almost without moving. It's there's so much good in there.
It is. Yeah. And that's another thing is that we, and I also have a question, but I love.
Is it why does the horse need a mask?
I do love that how their families are represented in this is that there is this basis of love and understanding, even though like, yes, everything is hard and it's going to be hard for kids and the parents, but nobody comes from quote unquote a broken home and nobody like dealing with any sort of tragedy or trauma within their home. So their homes are a safe space. My question is, are all of the spider people, are they connected to a captain at some point? Like, I know like is that the point? Is that what we're supposed
That's
to
what
be?
They're saying
That's
here.
That's what they're saying yes. here in this one. But I mean, is that, just,
so Gwen Stacy's dad is a police captain,
yeah,
and so Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy both have a relationship with him.
Right.
And then all of the Mileses out in the world have a relationship with their father.
Yeah.
And then the what's her face, the Gaitra, his beautiful girlfriend, who maybe I'm being racist, but I think looks like a aloof wife, first lady of New York City, whose name I don't remember. But like her dad apparently is there. So like, I guess they're just saying, just accept it. Even this horse has a police captain horse.
But for if you're a Miles's dad is dying is like a Spider-Man's Uncle Ben dying. That's the same canon event.
No. Uncle is a separate canon event because remember Uncle Aaron dies.
Oh yeah.
You have to lose an uncle and a police captain.
Oh,
it sucks to
who
be Spider-Man.
May or may not be your dad.
And if you are a Peter Parker or a Gwen Stacy, you're also going to have problems there.
Yeah. Okay. There's so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that it's like this is the core thing with Spider-Man. Like Batman's core thing is I'm too traumatized and I'm going to be sad forever. And Superman's is I'll never fit in with this thing. Spider-Man's is I have to lose people to.
Right. And, I can't save everyone.
Right. And I don't know. I think that works most every time. That's why we have four Spider-Man series in this century alone.
Right.
I mean, as much as like getting into these, the canon events, the world poof is a little tired, like pointing out like, hey, this is why it works is a nice little dab of commentary.
Oh, okay. I like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's this essay.
My nibbling Divino. We were in a van and they just kept saying, this is a canon event.
Which I swear the Wikipedia said that came from this.
But like, that's my question. Do the youths say that?
An internet meme involving the notion of canon events began spreading on TikTok after the film's release, which later became a trend. The meme's word canon of Collins Dictionary selected canon event as one of its 10 contenders for word of the year in 2023.
Wow.
So yeah, that's from
Davina. I just felt finger on the pulse.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just felt like that was just always there.
It's a good, useful phrase.
So is Miguel a true, an actual villain here, or is he just, you know, broken? And
I think the latter.
Yeah.
Did any of you have a relationship with Spider-Man 2099?
In this?
And where?
In the comics or, yeah.
You mean with Oscar Isaac? Yes. Oscar.
My one thing is, when you watch the introduction of Miguel O'Hara in the post-credit sequence of Into the Spider-Verse, he is allowed to have joy and laughter in his heart. Right. And then in this movie, he isn't. And so I don't know if his like little aside where he erased a universe by having a family happened in between. But I wish Oscar Isaac is so funny and charming. I wish they let him be something other than I'm grumpy about the world.
Yeah. So wait, so back to your question. A relationship with him. What do you mean? Like where?
Oh, I just, some people really love that character. And I am curious.
From this.
From comics.
Okay.
Oh, from comics?
Yeah. Right. Spider-Man 2099 was a comic book.
Oh. I thought that was like Peter Porker and Spider-Noir. I thought he was original.
All of those are also not original.
Really?
Yes. All of these are real comic
people. The T-Rex?
I don't know about the T-Rex and the cat. But anyway, I'm pretty sure that everything in the first one is from comics, and definitely Spider-Man 2099.
Oh,
interesting. Yeah.
No, I don't.
I have zero. Yeah.
I know who's original. It's the one who uses a wheelchair because that was a fan request.
Oh, that's awesome.
Make a differently abled spider person.
Oh, nice.
I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, no, my Spider-Man knowledge starts with Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
That's pretty valid. Much it.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're talking about the world, the headquarters of Spider-Men, the pointing Spider-Man, super cute.
I love it.
And then done like in a very natural way. Like, yes. It was done properly.
It was earned.
Yes.
We could go on and on.
But we are on a clock.
Because there's so much to talk about.
There's so much. Does anyone have anything else they need to get to about Across the Spider-Verse?
Let me quickly check my notes.
Checking notes.
I really like the scene where Peter B. Parker says that Miles is the reason he had a kid. Because my favorite scene in the first movie is when he's like, I'm so proud of you. Do I want kids?
I love his the line was like, I gotta go, my daughter's about to destroy a very expensive piece of equipment.
Relatable like,
yes,
content.
Right, exactly. Solid. Yes. You go, sir. Go do your thing.
Just the way that everyone is always catching her with complete confidence.
Yes.
Like, we got to keep doing this, but it's going to be, like, even Spider-Man 2099 does it a few, like, I got her. No, like that character. Another spinoff.
That's when he said, I have had just the right amount of you. There you go. He needs more jokes.
Yes.
It's the reason why you could spin off so many of these characters, every time they introduce something, I want to see more about it.
Yeah.
I want to see the whole,
yeah.
I want to see a little bit more of Peter Parked Car. Like, even the throwaway stuff is like, no, dude, can we do 20 minutes on the dinosaur?
Right.
Like,
right.
If they had a TV show.
That's true. You could have bottle episodes.
I love the chai tea bit.
Like, yeah. He gets so upset.
And it makes me want to, like, it makes me wish that I had somebody in my life that I called TT and I would just call them Chai.
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 It made me wish we had a thriving Indian metropolis in the United States.
Yeah, seriously.
It's
The chainsaw agrees.
The chainsaw agrees.
Yes.
Quite loudly. Those, it doesn't have an ending deduction. That takes it down to a 90 for me. Mm. Can't go any lower than that. Let's climb down the ladder. Camila?
I'm going to go with 91.
Nope. I didn't think.
Sorry.
Sorry. I'm way, way lower. I'm at 70.
That's more than I thought you
would. Oh, okay. I think this movie is great. I just find it enormously frustrating.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I understand.
I think I'm able to take away pockets of so much joy from each of it. Like, I take a little gift bag from this part and this part and that part. So,
Time I think about Spider-Punk, I'm like, wait, maybe I should give it more. And no,
it's very,
70.
It's very rewatchable.
What a streak we're on. 83 and two-thirds for Across the Spider-Verse. That's 1 point lower than West Side Story was last time, which was only a few, four or so, 3.5 points lower than A Few Good Men was.
Wow.
We are in a good streak.
What a start to 2026. Almost said 2024. Time doesn't matter anymore. To the bingo card, you have title is a person's name. Spider-Man's his name, right?
Yeah, I call him Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
Do you go all the way and introduce Spider-Man?
Yes, do it. Be bold.
Spider-Man.
And we were joking before we started recording that, like, literally any bingo square could be true. And it's just happening in the corner of a screen. Allegedly, Tobey Maguire's in this somewhere.
He is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Garfield boy.
Yeah, the Garfield boy they, like, linger on.
Yeah.
Did anyone fall from a great height into water? There's so
a
much
lot of falling, but
I don't think
there
any water.
Yeah.
I don't know that any animals died.
I don't think so. As far as I know, I did not. Sign language communication seems like something that was happening, that could have happened.
I don't remember it happening. Remember. Yeah.
There's good in you. There's got to be.
I mean, here's the thing. There's definitely that.
Vibe.
Yes. I don't know if those words are said. You are the bingo queen. You can tell us.
I mean, I mean, it's to be like expressed in some way. Like,
yeah. I think if you think we can cross it off, it's pretty important thematically, but it isn't actually explicitly done or said. We're not there.
I can't.
Is Spider-Man in this room? Is Spider-Man in the room with us right now?
No, there's no. Nothing? Like I said, there's like, I have no love for Spider-Man, but I mean, Oscar Isaac is. I don't know if that.
I don't think.
No. Okay.
Was he promoting this film at the time that you encountered him? Have you met him?
No.
Oh. Okay.
I'm still here with you.
That's true.
I mean, somebody would have to post bail.
When did you fall in love with him? This is one of my questions.
I think it was the Llewyn Davis.
Yeah, me too. Mm. Yeah, with that audition scene, I was like, God damn it.
Because I just saw it on a whim. Just like,
me too, 100%.
And I'm like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to You Can't Handle the Truth, tell us about your night with John Cusack.
Oh my God. It was amazing. Once again, thank you, Sean, for recommending that I
certainly.
Do it. I'm so happy you had to go out of town.
Hey.
Sean loves a little trip.
Yeah. Right.
And they benefit others. See how it works?
And so, like, it was crazy to me. I'm still replaying everything over my head because I obsess. Because, like, I go from when it was like a week the whole interaction of everything, but from me knowing that I was doing it and from them asking for me knowing blah, blah, blah. I assumed they were going to give me a list of questions. So day one goes by. I didn't do questions. Day two happens. I hear nothing. I was like, I better start making questions.
Good for you.
So then they come by like, hey, can you make some questions? So I'm like, sure. We're doing serendipity. I imagine we're just going to stick with that. Questions all about serendipity. Great. Send them over. They're like, bet. And then I'm like, okay. So, and then they're like, well, can they come back and they're like, hey, we don't have to stick with serendipity. Let's do some more. I'm like, okay, sure. So I add a couple more movies in there, blah, blah, blah. Boom. They're like, cool, bet. So I come in there and then I meet John and immediately, like, he was like, hi, I'm Johnny. And I'm like, oh my God.
I love
that. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, this is great. You know, we can talk about anything. And I'm like, fuck. So, but, you know, my little jokes that I did landed to the audience, which, you know, awesome. John and I had a great back and forth, great rapport. I think we had a pretty good conversation. There was a moment, there was like this little bit where he said something about a song. I didn't know the song. And he was like, how the fuck do you not know this song? And afterwards, he's like, you know, I just did that for the laughs. I know. He's like, I didn't mean
that's
anything
so
by
nice.
It, right? And there was another point where he was like, he asked me about a Bob Dylan thing. And I was like, I don't like Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. He seemed upset by that. And I was like, you know what, John, I'm sorry. I want you to like me, but I cannot to admit to something that he's like, I do like you. And I was just like, oh,
John Cusack likes you.
I know. And then, so it was a really great conversation. It was a great thing. Random people that I didn't know in the audience gave me high fives and compliments after
that's
the fact.
So great.
And, you know, even my crew that I brought, they were all like super hyping me up. And I loved that. And, you know, shout out to Chris and Yaz and Sakina. And, you know, James and everybody at Carnegie and Drusky, they were all super great to me. A couple of my friends had bought tickets, but had balcony seats, and they moved them to the front row.
Nice.
To the front. So it was super cool.
That's so great.
And then the song, and then this is just me, again, overthinking stuff. The song that John had suggested to me had the big reaction about me not knowing. He had me play it when we went backstage, and we listened to it. It's a very good song. Solomon Burke.
Oh my God, I love Solomon Burke.
Thank you. Okay, I'm glad. All right, and yes, and it's great. It's wonderful, blah, blah, blah. But then, coincidentally enough, a day later, in his Instagram stories, he just plays that song.
Oh my God.
No explanation.
Oh my God.
Nothing. And all of his other stuff is all political and whatnot. And you know, mira, mami.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
That's so great.
And it's always that I want to know they were cool backstage.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because everyone is on stage.
Right. Yeah. No, so he was great. Super great. And one of my friends who was like really in love with him, she couldn't make it. And I was like, John, you know, I hate to do this, but my bestie couldn't make this, you know, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, absolutely. Gets one of the posters and signs and is like, Rachel, where were you? Damn it. And
so that's cool.
He was excellent. Like, he was a great person.
That's great.
He said when he introduced himself at first, he was like, I'm a nice guy.
Usually that's a red flag.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, are you?
Well, Robin, you're up next.
Speaking of nice guys,
interview
derogatory.
Someone.
Oh, I thought you were saying I'm up next for you can't handle the truth.
No. I'm saying you have to interview someone on stage at the Carnegie Homestead Music
Hall. I don't
have
the same interviewing qualities that the two of you have.
You're on stage all the time.
Okay,
Yeah, I think you could do it.
We'll wait for these to keep. There's two that I'm angry that are going without a host. First of all, if you are involved in the sending movie stars to talk after their movies show tour business, get a local person.
Yes.
Because one, that is going to add a little bit in the minds of, you know, even if it's 10% of the people there are like, oh, I've heard of that person. You know, that gives it a little bit more. And two, we really like it when you do that. Yeah. And there's two coming up.
Also, they are bringers.
Right.
Right? These, if you bring a host from another city, nobody is going to buy a ticket over that.
You brought your crew. Yeah. I brought you and a bunch of other people.
Right.
Like, that's.
Had I had more time than more than a week's notice, then I would have gotten. And much more people.
There's one that's three of the Stand By Me's. It's like Jerry O'Connell.
Really?
And I forget who the other two are.
Will Wheaton?
Will Wheaton was one of them.
And Corey.
It might be Corey. I don't know.
He's all that's left.
Yeah, it feels weird because I feel like he dominates the stage too much to share it.
But he's been doing it with them.
Then there's the lead couple from Airplane is coming and doing that. Like, couldn't I do that? But anyway.
I thought Napoleon Dynamite's coming too.
They've done that a bunch. That's like an annual thing.
Right.
They tour like the Grateful Dead. They're like, this is what we have. We're going to go around showing the movie until people stop showing up. But let's get to
Wuthering Heights.
The Heights.
So wait,
they weathered.
Did you go see it?
Yes, I went
to screening
see it.
Or did
no?
No, I saw it yesterday, the first showing available, really? Because I'm so hyped for this movie, and so I loved it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ramping up to it, it felt like you were disappointed.
No, not at all. I had high expectations, and they were met.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Okay.
So the thing is that we talked in our year in review episode about how like a lot of people preloaded hate this movie for some reason. Right. And so like, if you think you're going to hate it, you're not wrong.
That's true. I mean,
but also why are you letting yourself hate something so fun?
I'm very open to I have no skin in this game. I never saw the movie. Never read it.
The thing to know is that Heathcliff and Catherine both are horrible people. So, like, you have to want to watch two awful people be desperately in love. And,
that's fair. Right. No, that's fine.
And so, like, if that's not your vibe, then you won't like
it.
And, like,
Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Over the topness of it, like, I think the best way to describe how over the top this is like, in their house, their lighting is hand sculptures holding candles.
Yeah.
And like
Willy Wonka's coat hooks.
Yes.
Remember?
Right. It's like that's everything is at that level of just over the top heightened goofiness. And so if you can't handle that, you won't like it either. But
it's like, oh, I'm sorry. I wanted things to be fun.
It's
I like
so
plenty
fun.
Of serious movies.
Yeah.
They don't all have to be serious.
Right.
This can be a little and it is still very emotional. It's still very, you know,
they do seem
serious.
Like they are desperately in love with each other.
Yeah. And you get the seriousness and the seriousness of the novel from the weather and the rain and the windswept, desolate landscapes. Cool. Show me something fun and colorful in alternation with that.
Right.
Yeah. And it absolutely works. I'll gender it so you don't have to. People don't like it when a woman fucks with a book. When a man fucks with a book,
it's a loose adaptation. Brilliant.
The Shining, Jaws, The Exorcist, The Godfather, all of our greatest cinematic treasures are radically different from the book they were based on.
Right.
But, you know, people were kind of, the discourse, which Robin previewed on our year-end episode, was all about, well, it's so different from the book. Yeah, I said on the radio this morning, the book is incest, almost incest, and porridge. Make it different than the fucking book.
Yeah, we need to update it.
Yeah.
The second half of the book is so bad, I would not adapt it either.
Yeah. And you know, it's sexy and fun and a good Valentine's Day weekend movie.
Yeah.
Right on.
And they're both very good in it.
One thing I do wish that there had been more of the Charlie music. Because, as you know, I love Charlie XCX, which brings me to the moment, which I also saw, and it made me feel very old, because it's like...
Because you're not of the moment.
I am not of the moment. No, it's a very Gen Z movie.
Wuthering Heights?
No. The moment. Oh, okay. It's like a Charlie XCX Spinal Tap.
Oh, gotcha. Yes. Okay, yeah.
And you know that kind of humor where like... Someone says something like really awful, but they use therapy speak. And then the other person goes, oh my God, that's actually amazing.
Yeah, that happens.
And then the young people in the audience laugh really hard. And I'm like, was that funny? Was that a joke?
It's like we have reached this moment in our lives now. This is absolutely, you are surrounded and you're the only one not laughing.
Right. And there was like one scene that I did laugh a lot at, which is that kind of humor where Charlie gets upset that somebody's listening to her too clearly. She's just like, you're being too intense listening to me. I found that genuinely hilarious.
No, I understand that.
I know what she's saying.
Yes.
I absolutely know what she's saying.
I call them active listeners and I'm like, I don't like it. Stop it.
I mean, I am an active listener and I worry that I freak people out sometimes.
No, it's more genuine when maybe it's more like a fake or a forced active listener, but people who shake their head, nod their heads a lot and a lot and like really just like staring in my eyeballs the whole time, and everything that I say is just like yes, yes, you know, nodding, nodding. I don't like that.
I'm trying really hard not to nod, right?
But
now.
You don't. No, you do it like it's not. I don't mean you, Robin.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Anyway, it is still, you know, it. I enjoyed watching it. It just made me feel old. That's what I got.
Camila.
F1. I watched that.
Best Picture nominee.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think we needed it.
No, we definitely didn't.
It's a lot of vroom vroom. And they speak to, there's too much, it's very niche. Because like for this movie was like, what, 2.5 hours long? And I still don't, there was just too much insider talk.
I don't care.
About the race cars and the, and it's just too much. I saw Send Help, which I enjoyed. I thought it was great.
Camila coded movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I guess it's worth, it bears repeating, but it's been a long time since I've seen it. I rewatched Claudine.
I've never seen that movie with Diane Carroll.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's, I mean, it's great. Yeah. But it's also, it's a real thinker, and it's a lot to process seeing it now. Like the movie came out in 1974.
That sounds right.
And so it's a lot to wrap, 1974, so 2023, much different view, much different lens.
2026?
Sorry.
You needed to one-up Sean, literally.
Where
or one-minus Sean.
Where is my mind? Where is my mind? So it's a, you just gotta, when watching it, it's like, okay, this is what was going on in 74. And it's just, they handle things of like, she's a single mom with like 5 or 6 kids. And she's dating another guy who's James Earl Jones. Mm. And we're just following her life at that. And, but it's met with, like, there's a lot of serious things of the Black community that was happening at that point in time in life. You know, she's dealing with her own children, but there's a lot of more humor to it, but not sitcom-y humor. So it's different to look at it now today. And just, I kind of wonder like, how would this story be told today and what ways? And, you know, cause I read a lot of different reviews of people being like, oh God, you know, really like down on it. But their reviews were like from 2020, you know, like,
right.
So it's like, you know, you got to really think about it. 1974, a very different time. And it was a little bit more, I think, revolutionary at that point in time to tell that story that way in 74. So,
is this streaming somewhere?
I don't know. I have it on DVD if you'd like to.
Can I?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Robin, I want to know what you thought of The Lost Bus.
You know, Colin really liked it. I enjoyed parts of it. It is pretty harrowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Academy Award nominee.
Yeah. It is a pretty harrowing movie. And the fire does look like real fire. So I understand why it got that Oscar nomination.
Wow.
He didn't need to be the saddest man on earth for 30 minutes before the fire started.
Why does the dog need to die? I'm not even one of those people, and I don't understand why the dog needed to die.
You know what would make this a better movie? If it was Kurt Russell in Big Trouble with Little China until the town caught on fire.
And it's always nice to see America Ferrera. Yeah.
That is this year's winner. I never talk about that. My favorite thing that I do that literally no one on earth pays attention to is the Death Blow Award, where annually on social media I give an award to the movie that sounds the most like a fake movie from Seinfeld. This year's winner, The Lost Bus.
Really? That is a good one. Yeah.
Although Mary Beth says it should have been Father, Mother, Sister, Brother, and that's such a strong contender.
Yeah.
Past winners include Licorice Pizza, Triangle of Sadness, The Pope's Exorcist. Mm-hmm. This is a good concept.
I like this concept. Yes.
Somebody get on board with it.
Wait, and do we have time?
We have a minute. I want to talk about Paranormal Activity, the play.
Talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
But I also want to call out, before we're fully off of Wuthering Heights, Hong Chau was very good.
Oh, she's so great.
And Alice,
I could have used more of her, too, because Nellie's also like so important in the book.
Yeah. And Allison Oliver, who I did not know before this.
She's also in Saltburn.
Okay. So I've seen her, but didn't, you know, latch onto her in Saltburn. I'm listening to the book. I plan to listen to it and then read it, but I wanted to like get in. I wanted to ease into the world.
People should apologize for listening to
it. No.
Read by Amy Lou Wood. In what I know of the book, I'm like, why is she? What is this? What is this character? The performance made me get the character.
100%. Yeah. I completely agree.
Paranormal Activity, the stage play. This is not like a gimmicky, you know, sometimes these go around where it's like, oh, it's the Insidious in theater experience, and you read the reviews and they're bad. Mm. This is a very well received. The reviews have been great. It is an original play that just happens to be loosely in the Paranormal Activity world and work like that. Mm. You are looking at like a cross section of a house. Like, mm-hmm. you can see the whole house in front of you.
Okay.
And there's a young couple, and like in the Paranormal Activities, things start to happen and you watch them react to the things happening in their house. Mm. But the characters, you know, are much more
likable
and rounded,
in that they're not the worst person ever portrayed on a film.
The story is similar to the first story.
Okay.
It is both in universe and not attached to that, but it kind of follows, has some of the beats, mm-hmm. of the first movie, but the characters are pretty well written. The drama is there. It's, you know, my theater brain was going like, there are ways in which this is the most pure theatrical thing I've ever seen, because you're watching a scared guy look around his dark house. Like, what is more like at the essence of performance and watching the theater than that?
Right.
And then the effects are amazing. They really do movie quality special effects in front of your face. Right. And it's neither of you are ever going to see this, right?
No.
Doubtful. I mean, is it coming here?
No, it's on the West End. The original, it was one of those co-premieres. So like the original did like LA, DC. I saw it in DC, LA, DC, Chicago, San Francisco. Okay. So maybe it'll be an off Broadway or something, yeah. But, okay. 2 minutes, spoilers, young couple, with names like a young couple, James and Lou. Lou is the girl. They're fighting. She goes off. She stomps off. She goes to the only part of the house that you can't see from the audience. Mm. She comes back down. She's changed. She's wearing like a big snuggie, like a big robe thing. She comes downstairs. They talk for a minute. They make up. They start making dinner. She turns and she starts chopping peppers or tomatoes or whatever. So her back's to the audience. Mm. And he keeps talking. And after a while, she's just not saying anything anymore. And he turns back to her and is like, Lou? And then she comes out of the upstairs again.
No!
And he's
chills.
And he's like, and yells down like, who are you talking to? And he turns back to the her that's downstairs, and the Snuggie just falls into the floor. And the entire audience screamed out loud. 1,000 people,
oh my God,
having that reaction you just had simultaneously.
Wow.
That's awesome.
It's so cool. Come back in. If that spoiled it for you, but you have a chance to see this, go see it. That is the best effect. That is not the only super cool effect. Just how awesome that this property that's kind of not doing a lot right now, they're like, let's take it to theater, but not a big Broadway thing, like a thoughtful play.
I like it.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Loved that. Liked Wuthering Heights.
Oh, I also wanted to say Wuthering Heights is super horny. Which is great. Word.
Oh, yeah.
That's so horny.
That's what I meant to ask. Robin's, follow Robin on Letterboxd for a list Hitch of died. The things that the movie is horny about, which is pretty much anything.
An abridged list of things. I certainly didn't get everything. I laughed out loud at the pop-up book.
I also laughed at the pop-up book. I can't get over the face wallpaper.
The face wallpaper with the veins visible.
He's
Camila's face!
He's like, I said the... I liked him a lot, too. What's that actor's name? I'm sorry.
Jacob something?
No, the guy who plays Edgar Linton.
Oh. He's great.
He's like, I told them that it should be the color of the most beautiful thing in the world, my wife's face. And it's like...
skin wallpaper.
It's like skin, like it has freckles and veins. Oh, God. It's so good.
It's so good.
The only criticism I have is because... there is nowhere for that story to go but tragedy.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really ever get you like on the edge of your seat, mm-hmm. because you're just kind of waiting for the bad to get worse.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing holding it back for me. But I would watch. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes
ish. Yeah.
Of.
I'm seriously considering seeing it again.
I would absolutely see it again. Yeah. Did I
haters see, to the left?
I'm so sick of trying to explain Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie.
Don't do it.
It's not about Nirvana.
I can think of at least two things wrong with that title.
It's a Canadian. This is like if I Think You Should Leave was Canadian. You had never seen it, and then it went straight to theaters without explaining what it was.
Okay.
Like, it's a Canadian comedy series that got, like, the... And we have a movie now, but inexplicably that movie's out here. It's kind of funny, but, like, it's definitely, like, I'm watching a thing I don't follow and nobody followed.
Yeah.
It's... Hey, knock yourself out. I saw When Harry Met Sally.
For the first time?
No.
Oh, okay.
I went and saw When Harry Met Sally on my little trip, and... I knew it was good. I forgot that it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's so good. And it's a lot of tropes that I don't like and don't agree. Like, look at my life. I don't think that men and women can't be friends.
Yes, it's like right. Strong counterpoint, Sean Collier.
But it's just something. I think what we're learning is that Rob Reiner had fairy dust. He had a magic potion that he could drop in that, or drop in The Princess Bride, or drop in Spinal Tap, and it just became better than what anyone else would have done with it. And this was at the Alamo House, DC. I forget it is. There's two of them: Alamo Draft House, DC something, DC Bryant Street, where their little fun thing is a Hall of Presidents, but they're all movie presidents. So there's a portrait of Morgan Freeman and a portrait of Harrison Ford.
I fucking love that.
And the statue of Bill Pullman making the Independence Day speech, like a life-size statue.
Like, it looks like a memorial. It's amazing. It's incredible.
Oh, it's so good. I want to, we have to go, but Alamo is controversial because they did this phone ordering thing. The phone ordering is definitely a step down. It presents problems because you're doing everything through a grid. It you know, Mary Beth was trying to get dressing on the side and instead got a hummus wrap with no hummus. Aww. She just got a pita around some lettuce and tomatoes.
Oh. No.
And I know that the staff, you know, they're keeping more people on shift because of a result of this. It is definitely a bad thing. It is not the experience ruining thing that the internet is telling you it is. And I think that's important because Alamos are still a cool place to go see movies. And it's important that we go see movies. And it's important that places that show movies try to be cool.
Right.
One thing that's not as good, I know there's the inshittification of everything. One thing that's not as good as it used to be doesn't mean that you should go, well, I'm never going again.
Right.
It is a step down. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
Particularly because they're really pushing, like, I don't know if this is going to stay forever. And this is what a lot of these stories aren't saying. At least right now, it was until this movie starts, order on your phone. If you want something afterwards, press the button and write it on the piece of paper like you always did. That might go away. They might eventually be all of the phone thing. But like for right now, it's like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Not everything that you don't like means you have to be done with a thing forever. Mm. There are steps in between. Write an angry letter. Someone has to read it. Let's draw a movie.
It's still Black History Month.
It is. And
even though that episode might be coming out in March.
Also,
but
happy birthday, Sean.
Oh,
tomorrow.
Thank you.
Oh, that's right.
Thanks so much.
And almost Camila.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I might have put too many numbers in there. No, I didn't put too many numbers in there. It is Rush Hour 3.
Cool.
You do have infinite vetoes, remember.
Veto!
Exercise my veto, man.
I think to limit this somewhat, we should still do the one veto rule that is you vetoed, you're
not
stuck.
I'm not going to just like keep, that's just rude.
Nope, 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 nope. Going to keep saying no until it lands on Jumanji, The Next Level.
Sure. Okay, wait, how did Jumanji, The Next Level, is that what, part two of a reboot or what?
It's the sequel to the reboot.
Yeah.
It's got Kevin Hart and The Rock, which is like... Yeah.
That's fine. Did we talk about the first one? I feel like we talked about that. We did the first one.
We've never addressed Jumanji.
Gone into the world of Jumanji.
Really? Okay. No.
Well, yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Cool.
If I'm feeling really spicy, maybe I'll watch the original.
Yeah. All right. That can be fun.
All right. We're starting at the end, but who cares? Yeah. We did the trailer. Oh, we didn't do Letterboxd, and it's interesting. So we won't go all the way into this. The Letterboxd list is official top 250 films with the most fans. This is the list of what movies appear most often in someone's four.
Oh,
I love that.
Which is unranked, so it's like, you know, this is so anyway. Across the Spider-Verse is 49th in the list of things that are in people's four. But the list is weird. Number one is Interstellar.
Oh, I hate men.
I love Interstellar. As a man, Dead Poets Society, La La Land is third.
What?
Eternal Sunshine, 10 Things I Hate About You, Perks of Being a Wallflower, Whiplash, Little Women, Greta Gerwig, Fight Club, Good Will Hunting, Everything Everywhere, Pride and Prejudice, Call Me by Your Name, Coraline, Parasite.
Fascinating.
It's an interesting peek into not necessarily what do you actually love the most, what do you want people to know you like.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And they did a lot. They have like top 100 from pro members, top 100 from members who have watched more than 1,000 films, top 100 pre-1970. Like they broke this down a lot. All right. Before a trip to, is Jumanji a place? Robin Williams.
Or is it a vibe?
Yeah. We'll explore next time.
It's a state of mind.
And we'll ruin our own states of mind with the answer to this question. Oh, what was the number one song in America June 2nd of 2023?
Cardi B?
No.
Kendrick Lamar?
No.
Is it Drake?
No.
You say, it's
ruin
something.
Ruin our states of mind. Mm-hmm. Who's in trouble?
Who's awful?
So many people are awful.
Justin Timberlake.
Remember that... our friends and foes in the world of country frequently end up on Kid top Rock. Of the charts these days. Kid Rock hasn't had a hit since before I had a driver's license.
I don't know. I don't know country.
Who are the worst people?
Travis Tritt? I don't know.
I've never even heard of that person.
I don't know. That's a name he's fine. I've listened to.
I don't know. Maybe he did something. What country name? What blank sparks controversy by blank? Where the blank is an incredibly successful country singer. The man's name is Morgan Wallen. Surely you've heard of Morgan Wallen.
No. Okay. No. Yeah. Is he? I don't know anything about him, though.
I can't give you anything.
Casual use of the N-word. He is not black.
Oh, dear.
Casual use of the N-word and really loves to smash up a bar. And he is just one of the top-selling artists in the world. Phenomenally successful.
What's the song
called? During Black History Month.
Last night. Fuck it. What was number two? I'm pulling it up. I don't know if I can pull that up quickly.
That's okay. We can just edit it there.
That's what she said.
Number one.